Physics of the Human Body. These are podcasts from the University of Utah's Department of Physics and Astronomy. Hi, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah Department of Physics and Astronomy. I'm a physician, and today we're going to teach and talk about blisters. Most people have had a blister on their foot after wearing or hiking or running or something. And you get this blister, a lot of times it's on the heels is where these things form. So if you blisters, they're caused on your feet by shoes, are really caused by physics. Physics can cause, and if you understand physics, you can prevent blisters and you can learn how to treat blisters. So blisters are caused by friction. And if you understand friction, then you can prevent blister. Let's talk then about blisters and the physics of blisters and how to prevent them. So let's talk about a young man who's studying physics and goes out after studying all day into the mountains and hikes with a friend. And he develops a blister on the back of his heel. And of course, this is a common scenario. If it hasn't happened to you, it's certainly happened to friends. But most people who hike or run or do a lot in the outdoors will get a blister, or at least get a hot spot, the start of a blister. Anyway, this young man goes in to see a physician, not how to treat it, but also how to prevent blisters in the future. His vision trims away the dead skin away from the blister, and then the wound is now open. She washes it carefully, and then she dresses the wound using honey to dress it. We use honey a lot now in wounds, abrasions particularly. It's really good. It keeps it moist, which is important to always keep wounds moist. And this it actually is an antimicrobial, so honey is a really good thing to put on wounds. She dresses the wound and puts tape on it, and then explains that he needs to change the dressing twice a day until it is healed. She explains the cause of blisters and how to treat them in the future. And so blisters that occur on the heel that open up are caused by the shearing forces of friction. And so if you understand friction and you understand what causes it, then it's easy. So to look at the skin, you have two layers. You have the outer layer, which is called the stratum corneum, which is the dead layer that usually calluses get formed of. And that sits on top of a more vibrant or a living layer called the stratum spinosum, which gives rise to this corneum as you as skin goes to the surface and then starts to die. It creates these two layers. But it's the bottom layer, the spinosum, which is the robust layer that is living. So when a blister forms, it develops on the feet when hiking or climbing or running. And when you get a blister, they form inside the blister. You get serum, plasma, blood, or pus. But blisters are formed by friction. And friction is formed by the normal force. And you remember from your physics, the normal force is the Newton's third law coupled force when two things come in contact, they push against each other. So like if you stand on the ground pushes back on you, and that force pushing back up is called the normal force. And when you put a shoe on, the foot pushes against the shoe, and then the shoe pushes against the foot. And that pushing of the shoe against the foot is, in that case, is what's called the normal force. And if you're a carpenter, you understand that the normal was the perpendicular line. So the normal force is always perpendicular to the surface of which it's touching. So the normal force is caused by the shoe pushing on the foot. So the normal force pushes up from the foot onto the shoe, but the frictional force is not the normal force. It is caused by the normal force. So it's perpendicular to it. So the frictional force is perpendicular to the normal force, and it is equal to the strength of the normal force times what we call mu, or the coefficient of friction. And so the normal force multiplied by the coefficient of friction then creates that shearing frictional force. So it stands to reason that by decreasing the normal force and decreasing the coefficient of friction would then decrease the cause of the blister. And so the blister actually is a cleft that forms between the stratum spinosum and the striatum corneum. It's not on the surface and it's not down deep. It's in between those two layers. And so repeated shearing forces cause mechanical separation, which we call a cleft, within the striatum spinosum. Initially, an empty space is formed, but hydrostatic pressures fills the cleft with fluid, causing a blister to form. Again, it could be blood, pus, or serum. In any case, mostly when people at a blister is filled with a liquid, which comes from the serum. So the maximum possible magnitude of the frictional force is really a function of the local normal force and the static coefficient of friction called mu. So friction equals mu times n. So the bigger the frictional force, the likelihood you're going to get a blister. And so that means the greater the coefficient of friction or the greater the normal force is how you're going to get that. So mu times n gives the frictional force, and that shearing force is going to rub that skin back and forth. And just down into a bit between the corneum and the spinosum, you'll get that cleft. So successful strategies for preventing blisters are aimed at reducing, one, the coefficient of friction, and two, the normal force. Having proper socks and having shoes that fit well are ways to lower the coefficient of static friction as well as the normal force. So what does that mean to have shoes that fit well or having socks that fit well? Well, that becomes very, very important. Friction blisters usually form first what's called a hot spot or a sore spot, and it hurts and usually turns red. If one of these forms, you need to place something on there that will prevent the actual blister from forming. And in that case, you want to put something on there that will keep the normal force down and will decrease the coefficient of friction. So they have these dual layer pads that you can put on. They're very thin. If you put a thick pad on a hot spot, you increase the normal force. So anything that increases the normal force, and if it's a thick pad, you'll increase the normal force, will increase the blister. So you've got to find something, one of these very thin pads that are out there. There's a number of them on the market that you can buy, and that will decrease the coefficient of friction without increasing the normal force. So these dual layers will allow the bandage to glide smoothly in all directions, deflecting friction and shearing forces away from the skin. The key to preventing blisters is to reduce hot spots by properly breaking in boots and reducing moisture by wearing wool socks. Now, by having water in your socks or on your shoe, you actually increase the coefficient of friction. So you need to wear a sock that will wick water away from your skin and put it up in the sock. Wool is really the best thing for that. You can have wool mixed with other fabrics, but wool wicks water away the best. So one of the strategies you can have to help prevent blisters is wearing proper socks, because that will decrease the coefficient of friction, thereby decreasing the frictional force, which is mu times n. So if you do get hotspot, these dual layers decrease both shearing and frictional forces. Pads that are really thick do not do this very well, and as we said, can increase friction and blister, create blisters by increasing friction by making it thick. And if you put a thick pad on your foot, then you'll increase the normal force. So you don't want to do that. Now, if you get a blister, you can decrease the normal force on that blister by putting a thick pad around it. So in other words, you get a real thick pad like moleskin and you cut a hole in it, and then you put that around the blister, and that'll actually decrease the blister, the normal force on the blister. That's after a blister is formed. However, before a blister is formed, you want to have something very thin on it, decrease the coefficient of friction. But once a blister is formed, you can cut a hole in it and create a ring around the blister. And this will reduce the pressure placed on the blister. This will help reduce the pain also. And if you have it's recommended not to drain blisters that are 2 centimeters or 1/4 inch if you can avoid it. Unless you think it's going to pop anyway, then it might be better to open that up and then just treat the blister as a wound. That you're going to read a lot of things about that and discuss it. But smaller blisters generally don't need to be open. But the big ones, which are going to open, it might be a better strategy to go home or go to a doctor or let someone who knows how to treat a wound manage it. But generally speaking, smaller blisters, we don't like to open. And one thing you want to remember, that calluses are preventive. are not preventive. Calluses, people think calluses prevent blisters, but no, they get thick. Therefore, they push against the shoe more, and therefore they increase the normal force. So if you have calluses on your shoe, on your feet, you want to sand those off and thereby decreasing the normal force. Remember, friction is mu times N. So by increasing the normal force, by having a thick callus, you'll increase the possibility of getting a blister. Remember, it's a robust stratum corneum. It's a callus that prevents blisters. You want a very robust stratum spinosum. So keeping that the outer layer of the stratum corneum down by sanding it will decrease the normal force. It's a healthy and reactive spinosum that protects blisters. Thick calluses increase the normal force and are actually associated with an increase of blisters. So to decrease the normal force on your shoe generally, your finger should slide between the heel of the shoe and your foot. So when you get your shoe, if you're going to buy a new one or you have one, put it on and lace it like you do. And there's different ways to lace shoes. You can look at those online that will help evenly distribute the forces around your shoe. But once it's tied, you should be able to take your index finger or one of your fingers and slide it between your heel and the shoe. It'll be tight and you shouldn't have to force it very much. And people think, well, is that correct? Yes. You want to have a shoe that fits kind of snugly, but you don't want it to be tight. Because remember, and making it very tight, you increase the normal force. So be able to put your finger around all of your shoe, but particularly in the back where it's located. Now, what about dirty skin? So if you are out hiking or if you're out doing your activity, if you get dirt in there, it increases the coefficient of friction. It becomes stickier. Feet should be kept as clean as possible to reduce the chance of forming blisters. And then you need to change filthy socks. And that is a strategy you should do. And socks can get wet and they can get dirty. So if you have wet and dirty socks, you're going to increase the coefficient of friction. So you should change socks frequently. And if you're just out for a run or a short hike, you don't necessarily need to change your socks. But if you're on a multi-day hike or you're going to do something, you want those socks changed frequently because dirt increases the coefficient of friction. And now, you think, well, what water would decrease the coefficient of friction? And it does initially. Wet skin has a lower coefficient of friction than dry skin, obviously. But as water is absorbed by the epidermis, the coefficient of friction begins to increase. Skin becomes subject to local shearing forces. Controlling moisture is an important strategy in blister prevention. Changing socks is basically aimed at controlling moisture. And if they get dirty. So keeping your feet dry is what is important in the end, even though initially the coefficient of friction may be down. It isn't at the end. And now you can put drying powder and antiperspirants, and those can be effective strategies for athletes who have a disease called hyperhidrosis, which is overactive sweating. And people who have hyperhidrosis know that their feet get a lot wet, so do their hands. So if you put drying powder in your shoe, it could be a strategy, except that it can backfire because it becomes saturated with moisture. And if it's not removed, replaced with fresh powder, then it's just going to become expensive dirt. And so you can use drying powders, but remember they can backfire. And it depends upon your hike and how often you're going to change it. The best strategy is to keep your feet dry by wearing wool socks and changing them frequently. And you can use sock liners to decrease the coefficient of friction. If you wear a sock liner, and you can buy socks now that have two, they have wool on the outside and these inner wool blends, which are very thin, and that will wick water away from your skin, keeping your skin dry. And it will also decrease the coefficient of friction. So it's a glide layer between the two sock layers. That greatly reduces the shearing forces applied to the skin surface by decreasing the coefficient of friction. But make sure that if you do a sock liner, it has to be very thin so you don't increase the normal force. You can use lubricants using like Hydropel or something. The strategy works by reducing the coefficient of friction in lubricant that will actually keep your skin dry, actually by putting a moisture proofing layer on the outside. And this actually can work, but then it also can backfire because if you put it on too much or you wear it too often, it can actually get absorbed into the skin and the skin will become rough. And then you actually can increase the coefficient of friction. You'll have to decide that one and how much you sweat, you know, decide whether that's what you want to put on your feet or not. Now, one of the great ultra backpacking athletes was Andrew Skurka, who gave us the idea of backpacking light and running light. So if you are a backpacker, you're going outside and you want to put something on your back, you decrease the normal force by decreasing your weight. And so when you do your backpack, you have to decide what you need and what you don't need. And that will then determine, of course, you know, pain in your back. The longer you wear a backpack, the more pain you'll have. It's not so much the weight, but the length of it, it turns out. But nevertheless, by putting weight on your body, carrying too much water or heavy things, if you're out in the backcountry, then you'll get more normal force and you'll increase the coefficient of friction. I mean, you'll increase the friction by increasing the normal force. That also manages with weight. So weight loss is another strategy to decrease blisters because this your weight will increase the normal force on your shoe. I know we often talk about breaking in a shoe or breaking in a boot before you wear it. You're actually more with breaking in your feet. The shoes don't really move so much as your feet do. The stratum spinosum is very robust and very flexible, and you're able to have it adjust to your shoe. So, but you should, either way, you should train in the shoe before you go on a long hike. I know a lot of people like to go hiking and they buy their new shoes and they think, you know, how much should I wear them? Well, as often as you can, you have to make sure there's nothing worse than getting on a long hike or on a hike and finding out that your shoes don't fit right. So you should train in them and train the stratum spinosum to kind of fit the shoe as much as possible. The biomechanics caused by a change in one of these factors on game day may incrementally change the local shearing forces and increase your risk of blisters. Remember, coefficient of friction, normal force is what causes blisters. So socks are a good way also to make sure that they fit well. Now, the one thing we want to mention when you treat blisters, there's different things that you can wear on their second skin or leukotape are things that can be applied to blisters, and they're very thin and won't increase the normal force. So you have to decide and study wound care if you're going to de-roof the blister or whether you're going to leave it on. But the main thing you have to do is decrease the shearing forces on any wound by decreasing the normal force and increasing the coefficient of friction. So anytime you have a callus, you can get a blister. And so before you get out, make sure you're getting rid of those blisters. And one thing, if they're in between your toes, one thing you can do is those toes will rub. So one thing you can do is buddy tape toes together if you get blisters in between them, because it may not be just the stratum spinosum, but if you have two toes rubbing back and forth and you have a big callus in between there, you'll increase the normal force in between the toes. So by buddy taping it, you will get those two toes acting as one. And so making sure that you can trim the blisters and keeping them if they do open up, and then wrapping them correctly afterwards. So just remember that you can study wound care easily about in another place other than in this physics blisters lecture of how to manage wounds. So if you do get blisters on your heels or in other places, and always remember that a blister can get pus, it can get blood, or it can get serum or plasma in it. And the only difference is what's in it. If it has pus, it means it's infected. If it has blood, it can get infected. So you want to make sure you just don't form blisters. And make sure that those calluses are done. Remember, blisters are formed by friction, and friction is formed by the coefficient of friction by the normal force. So anything that decreases the normal force and decreases the coefficient of friction will actually decrease your risk of getting a blister. And as always, physics in the body is important, and understanding physics and how it relates to the body will just keep us healthy and give us a good understanding of how our body operates. And as always, we thank you for listening.